arrays in JavaScript already. And we're going to look at them again the way they are in Visual Basic. So first, up in the public area where I define global things, I am defining the array. And I'm doing it up there so that it will be available to all of my routines. So I start out and I say dim department name as an array, putting that parenthesis in there tells it it's added as an array. And the 5 means that I can access it with indexes up to 5. In this case, so that this thing is up to 5 that's being used. Because actually it's not creating an array that's 5, it's creating an array that's 6, because department 0 is actually being. So I create that as a string. Then I go to my form and I click on any blank area on my form. And it makes a form underscore load. So it makes the load of it. This is the load of it. And you get the load event by clicking on a blank area on your form. And you're not going to get a new load event because I've already got a load event and it only does one load event. Yeah, sorry. It only does one load event. So, clicking on a blank area gives you a load event. Okay, so then I've got in here department name for each of the ones that I want to use. Department name modified by 1. And what these are is, this is an index, or it can also be called a subscript. It can also be called a pointer. The official name is an index. Okay, so it is modified by the index, or indexed by the number 1. So what that tells you, is that department name, you can't keep using it over and over and over again because there are a bunch of department names. What I've got is an array that is set up called, actually it's called capital B, because that's what I made it. So it's called department name. And in department name, I have 1 is set up as girls, 2 is set up as boys, 3 is set up as infants, 4 is set up as toys, and 5 is set up as books. Okay, I didn't have the department 0. Because who'd want to be in department 0? That sounds like you're worthless, right? So I'm not going to have a department 0. But there is a department 0, and it's empty. Okay, because when the array was created, it creates a department 0, but the department 0 was empty because I didn't put anything in it. So every time I refer to department name, I need an index to tell it which one I'm talking about. Okay? Because you can't have the same name repeatedly, so it tells me which one I'm talking about. And so now I come down, and if I click on the button, it checks to make sure I've got a valid department number. So it's checking and saying, if the department number, and notice I put a val on that to convince it it was working with numbers. If the department number is greater than 0 and less than 6, then I'm okay. If it's greater than 0 and less than 6, I'm okay. And at that point, I say, move the department name that the text department number that you typed in is pointing to. So the first time I put a 2 in, and that ended up pointing to boys. And so it wrote out that the department name was boys. if I put in a zero or a negative number or a number that is not less than six, it is going to let me know by saying invalid department number. Okay, so if I've got a department number that is outside of my range, it's going to come back and say invalid department number. So if I run this again, and I put in a 7 and say get department name, it's coming back and saying invalid department name, because 7 is not in the range of 1 to 5. Okay, it's not greater than 0, it's not less than 6. Okay. But if I put a 5 in there, and say get department name, it comes back with books, because the 5 comes over here and says get the department name indexed by 5, because the 5, the department number, is in there. And so it says get the department name indexed by 5, and I see books. So now what happens if I take out these checks that I put in? So I'm going to put a comment next to everything in here except the move the department name to departmentname.txt. Okay? So when I run this, hello. Okay, if I click on or put a 4 there, it comes back and tells me toys and everything is fine. If I put a 7 there, it crashes. Okay, and it tells me index, first of all, very nicely highlights the line that's a problem. And then it says index was outside the bounds of the array. So it tells me that this number is not a correct number. Okay? So, to keep it from crashing, and the fact that I should never, ever trust my user, okay, then what I put in there is that check that says if it's greater than 0 and less than 6, it's okay. Otherwise, forget it. Now, if I put in a 0, it actually has no problem. It just returns nothing. Because, as I told you, it made a zeroth element because it starts at 0. So it made a zeroth element, and the zeroth element is empty, so it returns empty. And so that's not a problem. What about if I put an A in there? What do you think it's going to do? Crash. Okay. Conversion from string A to type integer is not valid. So it's yelling at me about that, that the A can't be used as an index. Okay? So, from that point of view, it makes absolute sense to put in the if statement, the checks. And notice how nicely it aligns it up for me when I take the comments back out. Okay. Now, in fact, this catches not just zero, but negative numbers too. So if I want to catch negative numbers as well, I would keep that in. In the real world, you would probably also check to make sure it's numeric, and there's a way you can check that, but we're not going into it, but you can ask if it is numeric. So you can check and make sure the number is numeric, and that it's greater than zero, and that it's less than six. Okay? But for now, we're just looking at the range and assuming people are going to at least type in a number. Bad assumption. Because when you are actually programming, you should, and having a user type input in. Back when I learned to program, there wasn't any such thing as a user typing numbers in. Okay? It was reading files. And so you didn't have to check anywhere near as much. But you have to assume that, you know, the user is not going to enter the right thing all the time. You know, you have to make that assumption. Okay. And then when I hit the clear button, it clears out my two text fields, text department number clear, text department name clear, and when I hit the end button, it does end. The other thing you can do when you hit the end button is the me.close, which we've seen on other programs. So you can have end, or you can have a me.close with the two parentheses after it, which says do the close. Okay. So I have three buttons, and I have the load event. Questions? Before you leave, sign the attendance, okay? You don't have to do it now. You can do it on the way out. Questions. Okay, so this is a simple array, and we looked at a similar array in JavaScript, and they're set up somewhat the same. Okay. Now I'm going to go in to NextVB. And NextVB has two things in it, and I'm going to pick up Project If Test. So I'm going to NextVB and thinking I want Project If Test. And that's what I'm opening. This one has a lot of data that I need to put in. And so I'm going to put it in, and then we'll see how these routines work. Notice that I've got four buttons, so we've got to look at four different routines. Okay, the first one I'm going to say that the branch is the Boston branch, and the department number is 12, and 100,000. And 45,000 and 12,000, we'll say. Okay, so I've filled in my data there. Their budget is 100,000, they've already spent 45,000, and they've committed 12,000. What I want to do is figure out what they've got left after you take away the spent and the committed. So this first calculate button does the first paragraph. And if I'm not sure about that, I just double-click on the button and the cursor goes to the paragraph where the button is. Okay? So first of all, I set up workdiff as an integer and gave it an initial value of zero, which means it's available to all of my routines, all of my subroutines. Then I said, okay, convert spent to a value, convert committed to a value, and add them together. And that is then subtracted from the budget, and that gives me what's left. So if I take 45,000 and 12,000 and I add them up, I've got 57,000. And if I subtract 57,000 from 100,000, I'm going to have 43,000 left. And that's what it shows here, that I've got 43,000 left. Okay? So I calculated worst if, and then I said, okay, now put worst if out on the form in the text difference button. And this was apparently called the text difference button, since that's where it showed up. On the next one, I did overkill. I defined everything as local. So I've got a whole load of local things I've defined here. Remember, the work diff was global. I defined work budget, work spent, work committed, and work from budget. And I defined those all as integers. And they're all local, so they can only be used in this subroutine. So then I said, okay, take the text budget that somebody typed in, 100,000, and put it in work budget. Take the text spent and put it in spent. Take the text committed, put it in committed. So I just moved everything to a work area. That may be a lot of extra work. I seem to do it a little bit easier in the other one. Then I said, okay, now add work spent and work committed and put them into work from budget. Notice I didn't use value on these because they were defined as an integer. And Visual Basic is smart enough to figure out if I've got a work area defined as an integer, then it's an add I want to do, not a concatenate. So it adds those two things up, and then it makes that work from budget, and it puts it out on the form. So I'm putting out on the form how much I've spent and committed. So if I click on this form, I've got 57,000 there, because between what I spent, which is 45,000, and what I committed, which is 12,000, I'm getting the 57. These two together make the 57. And then if I subtract the 57 from the 100, I get the 43,000. Okay. So I said, add them up, and then do a subtract, take budget and subtract that from them, and put that in amount left. Okay. So I end up getting those answers. Questions? Yeah.
How does amount left recognize it's an integer if you didn't put anything written in integer? Or does it not even have to recognize
it? It doesn't have to. Because here, the only one that I had a problem with potentially is a plus.
Okay.
Here I'm just saying do a subtract and put it over there.
Okay.
And so whatever I come out with is a subtract goes over there. If I put decimals in, it would show up with decimals. Okay, it's not going to take out the decimals. So if I put in 45.99 and then say calculate, oh, it actually rounded. I must have defined, yes, I defined it as integer, so it rounded. If I had defined it as decimal, it would have shown up as the decimal. So if I go back and define these as decimal or double, it will show up. And now this is 42,999. Okay? If I go back, whoops. If I go back and define this as, let's see, what ones am I using? Work budget as double and define everything as either decimal or double.
Come on. Okay, now it's showing up as decimal.
So if that's what you were asking.
If I define them as double or decimal, I can do either one. Then it takes into account those. If I define them as an integer, then it takes only the integer part.
Okay, so now scrolling down and looking at the part below. In this one, I'm saying one thing has to be true and either of two others. Okay? So I'm saying if it's Boston, then check and see if the budget is greater than 5,000. And if it does, it meets the criteria. However, if it's not, then I have a second chance, which is total greater than the budget divided by two. Notice that I can have a whole formula in here in my condition. Okay. So my logic here is I'm asking, is it Boston? And if it is, I'm asking if the budget is greater than 5,000. And if it is, then it meets the criteria. If the answer is no, I have a second chance, which is I can ask about work total. And if it does meet the criteria, I have meets. If it doesn't, I'm all done, and it does not meet. And if it's not Boston, I have not meet. Okay, so notice over here, if it's not Boston, I go right down to that else and put out does not meet the criteria. If it is Boston, then I go and ask, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, it meets the criteria. Else, if it's not, I'm asking this question. Okay? And if it's no to that question, then I've run out of chances and it doesn't meet the criteria. So that's how that one works. So if I put A and then B, if I click on this one, A and B or C, it comes out and says does not meet the criteria. Okay? If I change this to Boston, which is what I thought I put in there, when I wrote budget instead, if I change it to Boston, then it comes back and says it meets the criteria. Okay? Because it's Boston, and the budget is greater than 5,000, so it never even asks the next question. It meets the criteria. If budget wasn't greater than 5,000, then it would have to go down and check work total, which you notice I added up at the top. We have to check work total against budget divided by two. Now, as it turns out, these two are the same. And these two are the same. So because those are both the same, I can do a compound. Okay, so I'm going to scroll down a little bit.
and there's the compound, which is a little hard to read, but no, I can't really move that. Okay, so if I scroll down, it meets the compound. And the compound was asking if it's Boston, and then it put in the parentheses. And these parentheses are basically, as we've seen in other languages, either. So I'm saying either of those are true. So either work budget is greater than 5,000, or work total is greater than budget divided by 2. Okay? So either one of those have to be true. And the only reason I can do a compound is because I don't care which one is true, I do the same thing. I don't care what one makes it not true, I do the same thing. And so since those are the same, I can do it. So I'm going to click on this, and it also comes up with meets criteria. Okay. Questions? Always makes me nervous when I don't get questions. Are you sure? Okay. The one that is in with that was VB Loops. And this is, I'm not even going to go over, it's very similar to the one that we went over. I have a do while loop, I have a do and a loop until loop. And we looked at those on Tuesday fairly closely. But those are two little loops to basically do nothing. But they're two different loops. Okay? So if you want to look at them, you can. And now I'm going to close that, and I'm going to go into open, and I'm looking at VB whatever. Okay. And I'm going to just quickly look at the if there. My first project is a hello one, so we're going to pretty much ignore that. But this is a review of if statements. So if you're having problems with if statements, this is a good one to look at. I did work deaf and locally. It's like the same one that we already did. I did work deaf locally. Then I said, work deaf equals budget minus spent. And then I said, if work deaf is greater than 1,000, then put our result that says work deaf concatenated with. Notice that ampersand there, that means concatenated. So I said, put out work diff. Concatenated with is what you have to spend. So this is concatenated. And the other one, else, put out a different. And then down below, I said, if the text is CI, department is CI, then check the budget. Okay? So if it is not CI, it will drop right down to this else. If it is CI, then it does the if statement inside and makes a determination based on the budget.
Okay. What is this one called?
First if. And so there's the form where I have a department budget and spent. That's kind of a watered down version of the one that we looked at a minute ago.
Okay. You've got about an hour, about, not an hour. You've got about a half an hour. A little more, 40 minutes. What I want you to do is get started on the homework so that if you're having problems, you can ask them. So hopefully you can get problem one done, and then you can move on. Okay, so problem one, as I said yesterday, so the JavaScript assignment is under week 6. So you go to the first JavaScript assignment under week 6 and do those programs, but now you're going to do them in Visual Basic. So the first one says, I'm going to take in height, width, and length. So you're going to have text boxes for each of those. I'm going to calculate volume, so you're having a text box for that. And I'm going to put out a message, so you're having a text box for that. Then you're going to have a button that will do all of the calculation and determine what message. If you wanted to, you could have two buttons. One that does the calculation, one that determines the message. I'd probably do it with just one button because it's not that much. Labels are nice so that I know what to enter where. Okay? So, start from scratch. Do that problem. If you have time, move on to the second one. But Lindsay and I get bored, so ask us questions. What I'd like you to leave is leave here with the first one either done or under control. Okay? And hopefully move on to the second.